you go to the myriad of churches around here that just do a song and dance for you, you will not be troubled. But if you come to a church that proclaims Christ and doesn't tickle your ears and addresses you personally as God's Word does by His Spirit, if you get agitated, it's an evidence there's unbelief in your life. But God is gracious. He wants you to see yourself rightly.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, when we hear the Christmas story, it's usually just the highlights, that familiar Luke 2 passage and so forth, but there's so much more that was happening during that time.
You know, Dave, indeed, there was a tremendous amount of commotion surrounding the birth of our Savior. And so today we're going to examine the scriptural accounts of those who were alive when the Son of God came to earth. Our text is Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
And when Herod the king heard it, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. So the news gets to Herod because these magi are asking, where is he who's been born king of the Jews? And the news gets to Herod, okay? And it says, Herod the king heard it. He was troubled. The word means to be stirred up, to be shaken up, to be thrown into an unsettled state. It speaks of mental and spiritual agitation, disturbed, troubled, upset, agitated. He was shook up. You probably understand the feeling when something you've heard, some news is greatly disturbing that has caught you off guard, and all of a sudden you hear it, it shakes you up. And he was shooken up. He was shooken up. He was troubled. Now, within the wicked character of Herod that we have looked at already, we can understand this response, right? He is an evil man who does not want to give up his power, so he will do anything to keep it. He is just like Satan. And so we see Herod is the king of the Jews, and these magi have come, and they're looking for he who was born king of the Jews. And so in the context of Herod's wickedness, we can understand that evil response. But what I don't understand is the response of all Jerusalem. Look at verse 3 again. And when Herod the king heard it, that's the magi are asking, where is he who was born king of the Jews? We've come to worship him. It says, Herod, he was troubled, and all, not part, but all, Jerusalem with him. You say, wait a second, this doesn't make sense. The Jews were waiting for the Messiah to be born. Shouldn't they have been rejoicing? Is it possible the King of the Jews has been born? Is it possible the Messiah has been born? Is it possible? But why would they be all shaken up at the news? Why would they be? They knew the Word of God. They knew the prophecies concerning the Messiah who would come. Well, let me suggest a reason why they were shaken up. And I believe the possible answer is the Jews at the time of Herod were in unbelief. They were in unbelief. They knew the Word of God. They claimed to know God, but they were in unbelief. It's like what happens in many churches on Sunday. People know the Word of God. They claim to know God, but yet they are shaken up when the truth of God crosses their will and their ways. So they're troubled, and all Jerusalem with them. And we see their unbelief, I believe, is exemplified by the fact they ultimately would reject their Messiah and call upon him to be crucified. The Apostle John says in John, let's turn to John 1. Let's look at verses 9 to 11. John 1, verse 9. There was a true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. This is speaking of Christ. And the world did not know him. He came to his own, that's the Jews, and those who were his own did not receive him. They didn't receive him. You look down, and you'll remember after the feeding of the 5,000, later, those same people saw Jesus, and he rebuked them because of their focus on physical sustenance rather than the God in their midst whom they needed to believe to be saved. Look at John 6. John 6, verse 35. John 6, 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you, you have seen me, and yet do not believe. They saw the Messiah, and they didn't believe. Look further up, John 10, verse 24. John 10, we see the outright rejection of Jesus by the Jews. John 10, 24. The Jews therefore gathered around him and were saying to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these bear witness of me, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me, and is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. The Jews took up stones again to stone him. Turn to Matthew 23. Matthew 23, verse 37. Then we'll get back to our passage after that. Matthew 23, verse 37. This is the Lord Jesus weeping over Jerusalem that had rejected him. And he was about to go to the cross within that week. Matthew 23, verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted or desired to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Unbelief and unwillingness to turn to Christ go hand in hand. And so we have the Jews of the time of Herod were in unbelief. They were in unbelief. And the reaction of those who did not believe, even though they knew the word and they said they knew the God of the word, the reaction was they were agitated. They were troubled by someone who was coming to worship the King of the Jews who had been born. The King of the Jews, the Messiah, had been born, and they were agitated. Certainly in the context of unbelief, and it's most likely the baby, like anyone that doesn't believe, didn't fit into their plans. The Jews, in unbelief, were looking for a Messiah to deliver them from the bondage of Rome, not someone to be worshipped and thus obeyed. The king they were looking for was one who would address their needs to release them from the temporal bondage of Rome rather than the eternal bondage of sin. And we see this today. People who say, I believe the Word of God. They know the Word of God. They say, I know the God of the Word. And yet the gospel doesn't fit the paradigm of their desires, the true gospel. So they change it. And there's agitation. Another element that might have troubled them was that this is going to rock the boat. Herod is a bad guy. They knew his character. This is going to mess this up. It's going to rock the boat. That's unbelief. You see, when Christ comes, he changes your life and he changes things around you. He said, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. If you come to Jesus Christ, those who aren't saved around you, who are close, there's going to be an instant division. But hopefully that they would see themselves rightly and they would be saved too. They didn't want the boat rocked, probably. That's from the faithless eye. So it's unbelief, I believe. They'd rather have Messiah, their own desires and timing, by the way. Timing didn't work. Rather than one declared by God to be the Messiah, the one who was. So with that, with the Old Testament prophecies revealed God's salvation would come, we see it coming even to the Gentiles, as we'll say. One pastor writes, unbelieving Jews are just like all unbelievers. They refuse to seek God or worship Him. Being Jewish is no more inclines one to recognize God's salvation than being raised in a Christian home does. Proximity to the truth is not enough, and it's not shocking to find out when our Lord publicly presented himself to the nation some 30 years later, accompanied by signs and wonders, they failed as a nation to accept him as their king, and it was in Jerusalem that he was crucified. The Jews should have understood what that meant. that their Messiah had been born. They should have understood that he would come to die for their sins because all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. They should have believed the message of Isaiah, who says, who has believed our message? To whom has the strong arm of the Lord been revealed? They should have understood that he needed to suffer first for the glories to follow. But they missed it. And they were very troubled by those who were genuinely seeking to worship the King of the Jews who had been born. And let me ask you this, is this service troubling to you today? Does it agitate you? Does the word of God being proclaimed, when it addresses you personally, does it agitate you? Are you agitated by those who are truly seeking to worship Christ? If so, this is an evidence of unbelief. Maybe you're a believer and you've been hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, but maybe you don't know the Lord yet, and God is gracious because he is the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, and he wants to save you. So the Jews enjoyed their religiousness apart from Christ, but yet when confronted with the truth, they were troubled. And I find it amazing, again, why not go down and see the King of the Jews? What a tremendous, tremendous news. Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? We've come to worship him. Tremendous news. Unbeliever, if you go to the myriad of churches around here that just do a song and dance for you, you will not be troubled. But if you come to a church that proclaims Christ and doesn't tickle your ears and addresses you personally as God's word does by his Spirit, if you get agitated, it's an evidence there's unbelief in your life. And God is gracious. He wants you to see yourself rightly. These Jews did not seek to worship Christ in this point because they did not believe. Now, you may be thinking that's not a big deal, but as we're going to see, if that's the case, you're no better than Herod, who is a wicked murderer. Take a look at verse 4 back in our passage. And gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he began to inquire of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judea, are by no means the least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called the Magi and ascertained from them the time when the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go, make careful search for the child. When you have found him, report to me that I too may come and worship him. So Herod inquires of Israel's theocrats where Jesus is to be born, and the answer is Bethlehem. Notice he gathers together the chief priests and the scribes of the people. Now the term chief priest wasn't a title, it was a term to describe the high priest, any ex-high priest, possibly the captain of the temple guard, and some other priest, including the 70 Sanhedrin. They were the top religious guys, and they were not your ordinary priests. And they were really the people who ruled Israel. And then we also have the term scribes of the people. These were not priests. They were from other tribes. However, they were learned in the law. They were those who studied the scriptures. They were Israel's theologians. And so then Herod, an unbeliever, inquires of these theocrats to where Jesus was to be born. Verse 4, and gathering together all the chief priests, scribes of the people, he began to inquire of them where Christ was to be born. And what's their answer? They knew it right away, didn't they? And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And he gives the quote from Micah 5:2. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judea, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people. The answer is Bethlehem, right away. Right away, they knew the answer. It's out of Bethlehem a ruler should come. Simple answer. Now, it's also important to realize not only did the religious theocrats understand that it would come from Bethlehem, also the people did too. Look at John chapter 7, John 7. The Jews knew it. They understood the word. They didn't believe it. They didn't believe in the God of the word, but they understood the word. John chapter 7, verse 40. Some of the multitudes, therefore, when they heard these words, were saying, this is certainly the prophet. Others were saying, this is the Christ. And still others were saying, surely the Christ was not going to come from Galilee, is he? Has not the scripture said the Christ comes from the offspring of David and from Bethlehem, the village where David was? They knew the truth. They knew it too. And so what I find very tragically telling is these leaders and the people knew the word of God. They knew where their Messiah was to be born. And yet we have no record of them going to search to worship him. Bethlehem is about 6 miles south, about a 2 hours walk. 2 hours. These magi had come 1,000 miles. And the people in Israel were unwilling to go 2 hours to see if possibly this is the case. You would have thought those who knew the word of God, and they did, would have gone there immediately. But yet it's telling of their spiritual condition. Folks, for some of you, coming to church or a Bible study is a hurdle. It's a difficulty. Any excuse not to come, it's telling of your spiritual condition. It's telling. The leaders did not seek to worship Christ because they didn't believe. They were agitated. And if you're agitated, it's going to be a problem. They knew a lot about Christ. They were close, 6 miles away. But they wouldn't go there. And all of Jerusalem had heard, where is he who has been born, King of the Jews? We've come to worship him. We've seen a star. But Herod, he believes like the demons believe. He recognizes that this child's been born and that he is the King of the Jews and he's a threat to him. So notice what Herod does. Verse 7, then Herod secretly called the Magi and ascertained from them the time the star appeared. He doesn't say, oh, that's not true, the star isn't real. He ascertains when it appeared. Now Herod is starting to show his sneakiness. After finding out Bethlehem's the place, he wants to know the time. So he calls them to ascertain the time the star appears. And later on in the book of Matthew, we see the star must have appeared in the east of these Magi 2 or so years before. So if you look down in verse 16 of Matthew 2, we see that he calls upon all the slaying of the male children 2 and under. So he got the time down, didn't he? Matthew 2, verse 16. Then when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged. And he sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its environs from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had ascertained from the Magi. He got the timing down. So Herod knows the place and the approximate age of the Christ who has been born King of the Jews. He knows that. And so notice, at this point, Herod deceptively uses the Magi's desire to find King Jesus so that Herod himself can kill him. Look at verse 8. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make careful search for the child. And when you have found him, report to me that I may too come and worship him. Sounds great on the surface. Go find the child. When you find him, come back. Tell me where he is and I can worship him, right? Herod's a Christian, isn't he? No, he wants to worship, right? No. We know, unfortunately, what Herod truly desires to do, and there's no desire to worship. He desires to kill him. He desires to murder him. We see later on that Joseph and Mary were warned in a dream to take their child to Egypt, the babe, the Christ child, because of Herod's desire to slay him. Look at verse 13. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. And if they don't think that word means kill, in verse 20, it's very clear. Arise and take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel when they're going back, for the one who sought the child's life is dead. Sought to destroy him. Herod doesn't want any competition. He's the King of the Jews, and he would eliminate anyone who challenges that, even the Messiah. Herod was not a believer. He's in the domain of darkness, and like every non-believer that we see, his wicked desires are in accordance with Satan's will. And Herod's were also. Look at Revelation chapter 12, verse 4. We see that Herod was doing Satan's bidding. He's a murderer. Revelation chapter 12, verse 4. And the dragon stood before the woman, the dragon's Satan, the woman is Israel, who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Satan wanted to kill him, and Herod is that tool in which he would attempt to use to kill the child. Now, some of you might say, I would never do that. And I would say, oh, really? You know, there are some of you here who actively put to death the thought of Christ's lordship in your life. You don't want him to be king over you because you're king. And it bothers you when the word actually affects your life unless it benefits you. You don't want him to be king over you because you're king. You don't want someone to tell you how to live, so you're agitated, angry at those who share the word of God rightly to you. You know, Jesus says anger is as good as murdering. Being angry is as good as murdering in your heart. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. You think anger is no big deal? It's a big deal. Being agitated, being angry is a bad thing. The anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Let it go. If it's justified, and if it isn't, confess it right away. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. Jesus is addressing the external spirituality of the Jews by going right to the heart. You've heard about murder. You know that, and you believe that. But let me tell you the reality of where it comes from, and you're just as guilty. He says here, but I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever shall say, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into fiery hell. Anger is a very, very evil sin. Now, a given, there are times when we get angry because of unrighteousness, and we better put it away before the sun goes down on it, because the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. But if it's from sin, confess it, or it may be exhibiting and manifesting where your heart really is. And Herod is a murderer. Folks, it's interesting. As you follow Christ, you'll be painfully aware of those who don't know Christ around you who begin to hate you. I'm painfully aware of that. Painfully aware of those who hate me, who can't stand me. And I believe it's because of what Jesus said for any one of us, for each and every one of us. Turn to John 15. You see, Herod hated Christ. John 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, now remember, hate is the emotion underneath murder, right? You're guilty with that, right? You know, anger and hate, you see that? If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, because I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. That's just what Jesus says. Remember the word I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, what's our takeaway?
You know, Dave, the simple takeaway is this. What is your response to the person of Jesus Christ? Are you like Herod, openly and aggressively opposed to him? Are you like the Jews, passively uncaring, too busy with your own life to give the Savior the time of the day? Or are you like the Magi, actively seeking him, giving your best to him, worshiping him with your whole heart? My friends, it's my prayer that your Christmas will be a time of celebration of the person of Jesus Christ, who he is and what he's done, worshiping him and honoring him as the Son of God and the Savior of the world.
As we close today's broadcast, here's a special message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Now, if this broadcast is something that you have been blessed by, as the year comes to a close, I would encourage you to pray about making a year-end gift to help this broadcast continue. You see, we can't continue apart from God's provision through listeners like you. So would you pray about giving a year-end gift to the ministry of Equipping the Saints? We would so appreciate the Lord's help through you.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to contact Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 1-800-596-9144, or at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, I hope you'll make plans to join us again next time for another edition of Equipping the Saints.